we've been talking about living life full. And really what we're talking about is not being full of all the things we see in the world. It's about being full of God's Spirit, being full of His love, being full of His presence, being full of His joy, His peace. And this past week, in the song that we sang, God's Relentless Love, I just have not been able to get away from His love for us and His desire for each one of us. How much He loves each and every one of us. Each and every one. He loves us so much. That song we were singing, even while we were His foe, even while we were against Him, He loved us. I want us to read some scriptures this morning here, and I know there's quite a few underneath your first point. But in John 7:37, Jesus said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, He stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this He spoke of, the Spirit whom those who believed in Him were to receive. He was talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He said all those who believed in Him, all those who believe in Him would receive. Notice it goes on in verse 39, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pick that story up in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This is on the day of Pentecost when Peter gets up and he begins to minister and teach after the Holy Spirit came into that upper room. And they were all filled with the Spirit. Jesus had told them to wait there till they received power from on high, until the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And Peter stands up and he begins to minister. And in that process of that, of the words that he is speaking, he said, God raised Jesus from the dead. We're all witnesses of this. Now He is exalted. Remember, it says that the Spirit had not been yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here we see that Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's been exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. He's been glorified, what Peter's saying. And notice what it says. And the Father, as He had promised, gave Him, Jesus the Holy Spirit, to pour out upon us. Just as you see and hear today. Just as you see and hear today. Jesus said that Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, is going to be given to all those who believe in Me. But He had yet not been glorified. But notice that when Peter said He's now been glorified, He's exalted, He's seated at the right hand of God, and He has received the promise of the Holy Spirit, which He's poured out upon us, He said, which you see and hear today. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and He will be in you. Not just live with us, but be in you. Ephesians 3:14, Paul writing here by the Holy Spirit said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant to you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, there it is, that incredible love that God has for us, that you may be rooted and grounded. It's two different things. Rooted is like a plant, a tree. It's where we get our life. It's where the root goes deep into the soil, that you be rooted and grounded. Grounded is it's a term like a foundation. So that you've got to be rooted in the love of God, and your foundation has got to be based upon God's love. Verse 18, that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ. There it is again, that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is an incredible line right there. That is an incredible statement by the Holy Spirit. Paul writing this incredible promise that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul said that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Not that you be filled with all the fullness by God, but that you be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a difference when somebody does something, when they would fill you with something by them versus something of them. You know, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It says it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit by the Spirit. It's not something that the Holy Spirit just produces. It's something that the Holy Spirit is, that he reproduces in us. See, I mean, I can make something and it will be by me. But then I can also create something that's of me. I mean, we just prayed for Destiny. She's that's my child. That's our child. She's of me. But there's a lot of things that have been done by me. I've used that sign up there. I made that in the garage. I hung it up there. That's by me, but that's not of me. When God says he wants to fill you with all the fullness of him, he's not talking about just his power. He's not talking about the things that he can do. He's not talking about all those things that are incredible, that just wow us. Like, wow, did you see what God did? Did you see how incredible God is? Did you see how God did this, how God did that? He's not talking about just filling us with that. He's talking about filling us with himself. The Bible says God is love. And that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's God's desire, number one. It's the Father loves us so much, he desires to fill us with his fullness. He desires to fill us with his fullness, who he is. His incredible love, his incredible peace, his incredible joy. God wants to share himself with you. Not just what he can do, but who he is. That's so much deeper. You know, your relationship can be based upon what someone can do, or your relationship with somebody can be based upon who they are. And what's interesting is they still accomplish what they can do, but when you have a relationship with someone that's based upon who they are, it's deeper. Again, the Father loves us so much that he desires to fill us with all of his fullness. And that's what the promise of the Holy Spirit is. It says in Galatians chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The Bible says that God is love. And what he's done is he's given us his Spirit and placed him on the inside of us. Jesus said he's going to be in you, not just live with you, but he's going to be in you. And he's going to produce love in us. That incredible love. But God's desire is that each one of us would be filled with his fullness. And I'm telling you what, man, I as I mature and grow, I realize and understand that there were so many times in my life that I made it about what God could do. That my relationship was based upon what he could do. The power and all those different things. And that's amazing. That's awesome. But to be filled with his love, who he is. That's not what he can do. That's who he is. To be filled with his joy. That's not what he can do. That's who he is. Remember a couple Sundays ago, right out here by the glass doors, I was talking to someone. They said, incredible service today, Pastor. They said, I experienced joy, not joy as in like joy, like I was happy. She said, I experienced joy like it was a person. And that's an incredible truth. Joy is a person. Person of the Holy Spirit. Love is a person. The Bible says God is love. God wants to fill each one of us with his fullness. Look at this in Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Talking about the Apostle Paul. We know Paul's second chance. See, we know about Paul's ministry. We know about his first problems. We know about his past. But we also see Paul's incredible redemption in life, how God used him to do some amazing things. In fact, the majority of what we read in the New Testament are letters that were written by Paul, the revelation that Paul received. But this right here is when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord shows up and encounters Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, Paul's on a mission. Paul is on a mission on the road to Damascus. He is carrying with him authorization to go wreak havoc. To go wreak havoc on the believers wherever he goes. He's been authorized by the religious rulers. He's been authorized by the Jewish leaders to go and wreak havoc wherever he goes. When I say wreak havoc, I mean he'll go to home and carry the parents out because they believe, divide the household. He was the one that instigated, and he was the one that oversaw the murder of Stephen. And Paul's on his way to continue to do this. And the Lord shows up and meets him. And now Paul's waiting, blinded, can't see, praying, and God speaks to a disciple. And he tells Ananias, he said, I want you to go to this place on the street called Straight, and I want you to go pray for this man named Saul, because he in a vision has seen someone coming by your name and laying hands on him. And this was his response. He answered, he said, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. He's coming to do us harm. But the Lord said to him, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entered, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's that promise. There's that incredible gift. Remember, Jesus said, all those who believe in him would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, think about something for a moment. This man is on a mission to destroy the church. And God encounters him. The Lord encounters him on the road. And the Lord says, yeah, I want you to go. I want you to go because he sees someone coming in, laying hands on him, praying for him. He's going to receive his sight. And when he gets there, he says, I've been sent to pray for you that you may receive your sight and receive, what did he say? The Holy Spirit. God desires to fill us with his fullness. It's God's desire to fill us with his fullness. Number two, the Father loves us so much that he pursues us even in our most broken moments. He pursues us even in our brokenness, even in our evilness, stop and think about who Saul is. Let me put it this way. There are people that are sitting in the presence of the Father when this is taking place, that Saul was directly responsible for them being there. See, what do you mean, Pastor? He was the one that was directly responsible for them not living any longer. We hear about the Christians that are suffering all over the world today. Some extremely horrible, tragic things, persecution they're facing, even to the point of death. Now, it would be like us finding somebody that had overseen one of those deaths that we've read about, and then God saying, I want you to go to their house. some horrible stuff. If you've never read about the martyrs that are happening, the things that are happening today, people being drowned alive, chained, caged. That's Saul. That's who Saul was. And God loved him so much that he wanted to give him a second chance, wanted to give him a new life, wanted to fill him with this fullness. That he encountered him on the road, and then he sent a disciple. Not an apostle, but a disciple. And what did he do? He went into the house, it says he laid his hands on him. He prayed for him, he received his sight, and he also received what? The Holy Spirit, that promise, that fullness of God. Go with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the inland regions and came to Ephesus. Now this is Paul. This is the one we were just talking about. This is Paul. He went through the inland regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples there. And he said to them, so Paul is now on his missionary journeys, and he comes to Ephesus, and he finds some disciples in Ephesus, and he says to them, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If this whole thing about the Holy Spirit, this whole thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit, this whole thing about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Bible says that John baptized with water, but Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. If there's really nothing to it, I mean, why do we see it just constantly happening in the early church? Why is it that when Ananias went to see Paul, he laid hands on him, he received his sight, and he was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You think Ananias just had that thought on the way there? And that was the first time that happened? No, what we're seeing is we're seeing this happen over and over and over again. And so what's that saying to us is that the early church was doing this. So Paul comes into Ephesus, and he finds that there's 12 disciples. There's about 12 men there, and he finds them, and he comes in contact with them. And so he asks them a question. He goes, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Since you become a believer, have you received the Holy Spirit? And their answer, look what their answer was here. It says, they replied, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they were disciples. The Bible says that they were believers. And it says they didn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. Now, they had experienced the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin. They'd experienced the ministry, but they hadn't even heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And notice here Paul says, no, we haven't heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul said, into what then were you baptized? Into John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul, notice what he did, Paul placed his what? Hands on them. The Holy Spirit, what? Came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Notice what Ananias did for Paul. Paul did for these disciples. Number three, the Father loves us so much, he will use imperfect, broken vessels to share his great love. Paul said, I'm the least. I'm the least of the saints. I'm not even worthy to be named an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church. Y'all, I mean, sometimes we just skim over these things, but listen to me. I've never gone and held a meeting. I've never went and ministered at a church. I've never went and preached somewhere, and I've had someone come up to me after the meeting and said, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I've never met you face-to-face, but I know who you are. Well, how do you know who I am? Well, Philip was my father. I've never met anybody that I had put to death. I had a family member put to death. But that's what Saul was carrying. That's what Paul was carrying. And notice, God loved him so much that he sent someone to fill him with his fullness. But then God used him to continue his desire to fill other people. Church, the Bible says that Peter and John on the day of the hour of prayer, when they were on their way to the temple, there was a man sitting there begging for alms, and he was begging for money. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Do you know what we've been given, we're supposed to give away? What God has given us, we're supposed to give away. And has anybody seen a reoccurring thing, how it's given? How was it given to Paul? And he asked him, what did he do? He put his hands on him. How did Paul give it to these 12 disciples? He told them about him, and then it says he prayed for him and he put his hands on him. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the enemy. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, when there was people pressing all over around Jesus, pressing all around him. All of a sudden, he stopped. He stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "What? What do you mean, who touched you? There's thousands of people. There's all kinds of people touching you, grabbing at you, trying to get a hold of you, trying to touch you." Now that just tells me something. There was something about the touch. Why were they wanting to touch him so bad? Because the Bible says that he went about laying hands on the sick and they recovered. But this one woman reached out, touched him, and Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. And they said, yeah, everybody's touching me. And he said, no, somebody touched me. He said, because I sensed power leaving me. Evidently, you can sense what God has placed on the inside of you, leaving you. It's not some strange thing. Come on, church. Of course, the enemy would try to take something that God has created to pass his goodness and his love and his fullness to other people. Of course, he would take that and try to turn it into something that the world would mock and make fun of. Come on, but it's not something we should be ashamed of. I'll never forget. I remember during the presidential election. I remember way back when Pat Robertson was running and Bob Dole. Bob Dole's from my home state, real close to where I grew up. I knew exactly where he grew up. I know his area. I know his town. And he's an injured war veteran. And he always carries a pen in that one hand because the hand is he can't move it, can't use it. And I'll never forget during the election, I'll never forget that Saturday Night Live, the world, they mocked a debate of the Republican candidates. And the mocking in the debate, there was a line from Bob Dole to Pat Robertson in that debate. Saturday Night Live, this is what he said. He said, "You come over and lay your hands on me and heal my arm." He said, "I'll vote for you." So even the world knows that there's something there. The world knows it. Such as I have what? Give I thee. How do we give it? We talked about this Wednesday night. How do we give it? It says that Peter and John, they gave it. How did they give it? It says that he reached down and grabbed his hand and touched him. And he received his strength. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this isn't something that God was doing yesterday. The Bible says that God's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Come on, can you say amen? It's not something weird. It's not something strange. God loves us so much that he wants to even use imperfect, broken vessels to share his great love with others. Number four. And honey, can you come up? I don't know anybody else in the team that wants to come up. Do you have a song that we can sing?
Yeah.
Or do we have a song that we can sing? Do we have a song that we can sing?
Yes.
Yeah. What do we got? Is that a good one? I mean, I like that one. Tell you one that I listen to over and over and over. I like Surrender.
I Surrender.
Can we do that? I love that song right now. I tell you what, we've got about 13, 14 minutes before noon. So we're just going to take that time, and we're just going to have a good time before we leave. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, Peter's word pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive. He said, repent, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to even the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Acts 4, 8, verse 14. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, who? Samaria. Let me ask you a question. Is that the Gentiles? Samaritan? Come on. Remember at the well? Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, and his disciples were like, why is he talking to her? When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So they received the word, and the Bible says that they were believers. In verse 15, after they went down there, they prayed for them so that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John, what's it say? Laid their hands on them, and they what? Received the Holy Spirit. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's not strange. Now let me just share this with you. We don't have time to get into this in depth this morning. But there are some things that have been perceived as strange because, I'll be honest, the church is messed up. The church is messed up. We've made some things strange, y'all. It's just the way it is. We've made some things strange. Paul talked about this in Corinthians. He wrote about this. And he even said this concerning the gifts of the Spirit. He talked about the Holy Spirit, and he even specifically talked about praying in other tongues. And we can get into that. We'll get into this more, but it's not a strange thing. Being able to pray, the Holy Spirit to pray through you, and something that you don't understand, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something strange. But I have people ask. I've had people ask even recently, Do you guys pray in the tongue thing? You guys pray in the tongue thing? It's an incredible gift. What you have to understand this morning, don't turn it off if you don't know anything about it, but understand this. Paul said this in Corinthians chapter 13. He said, if I speak with tongues of men and angels. See, we communicate in this natural through language. The word tongue there means language. But Paul said this earthly language isn't the only language that's out there. In the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. They communicate by language. And I'm going to tell you right now, they don't speak English. It's not. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's different. It's a heavenly language. We're going to get into some of that. But we've made it weird. There are some things that we've done that we've made it weird. I remember back when I was working at Kmart early on. I just went down to school at Tulsa. I went to Bible school, and I'm sitting there working at. And all of a sudden, a lady comes in, and knowing now what I know, I mean, I could tell you. What group she was a part of, just because of the way she dressed us like that, and the way her hair was, and all that stuff. And she came in, and right there at the front door, she started screaming, and she started praying in tongues, and she started doing all these things, and telling it, well, that's strange. And that's weird. I'm going to tell you this morning, that's wrong. Paul even dealt with this. Paul said that if someone comes into church, and all they do is hear people speaking in tongues, he said, won't they say you've lost your mind? So he even dealt with it all the way back then. So there are some things that have happened that weren't God. But what God wants to do, his desire, he loves us so much, he wants to fill us with his fullness. Can you say amen? Number four, the Father loves each one of us so much that his gift is for all who believe. What gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, Paul asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard of anything about the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 13, verse 52, at the very bottom of your handout, it says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were continually filled with the joy and with the Holy Spirit. Would you stand up with me this morning as we get ready to just kind of have just a few moments here, just a time of worship. And what I feel in my heart to share with you today, whether you have received the Holy Spirit before in your life or you never have, is that you just take a moment this morning to empty yourself. Because this is what I see in the Word. The Bible says that God will satisfy and fill those who hunger and thirst. It's not my responsibility to be the one that fills me. It's my responsibility just to be hungry, to surrender, to empty myself. If you have to just close your eyes, God wants to just touch each one of us in such an incredible way before we leave this place. And He doesn't want us to leave empty. He wants us to leave full. Full of His goodness, full of His presence, full of His love, full of His peace, full of His joy. Yeah. God, we just empty ourselves. Father, we repent. God, we turn. You said if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven, God, and heal our land. You're faithful and just, God, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, if we say we've not sinned, then we're lying. Your word tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short. But God, we want your fullness. We want the promise. We want your gift. Jesus, you're seated at the right hand of God. You're seated at the right hand of power. And you have received the promise of the Holy Spirit so that you can pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Yes, God, we surrender. We surrender, Father God. We empty our lives. We say, Father, we don't want to be full of our self. We don't want to be our will, but your will, God, be done. We surrender. I surrender. Right where you're at this morning, just close your eyes and begin to worship Him. And just surrender. And turn and ask Him to forgive you. God, forgive me. Cleanse me. God, I empty myself so that you can fill me this morning. Father, we want to be full of your fullness. God, we want to be filled with your life, your love, your joy, your peace. Come stand up here with me this morning. Yeah, I just want to follow what the Scripture says. There's people up here this morning, Pastor Tony, Pastor Sheila, and others, and we're going to do just exactly what we saw Ananias do to Paul, what Paul did to the believers, the disciples. We're just going to pray with you. We're going to make a point of contact. But if you want to be filled with the fullness of God like you've never experienced before in your life, and that you've never had that happen in your life,
You may be a believer. You may say, I've never experienced that. I want to encourage you this morning to just step out. If you've experienced it before in your life, you want to be like a disciple, you want to be continually filled this morning, and you just want more of Him. You say, it's been a while. I've not experienced it. I've not seen that. I want to just encourage you to come down this morning as we worship God. We just say, I surrender. I empty myself. I empty myself. Yes.
Down on my knees again, surrendering all. Surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me here. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. Oh, I surrender. 'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Disconnect yet. Just
sense in my spirit God wants to do something good this morning in some people's lives before we leave. And it's concerning healing in your physical body. It's not going to take a long time. It's going to be something quick, something that happens quick. In fact, someone is not, you're not sure about all this. You're not sure about all this. And you got something going on in your physical body. In fact, you've not even really spoke to anybody, talked to anybody, but it consumes your thinking. And you're concerned about it, but you've not even been to the doctor yet. And the Father wants you to know that He loves you so much. He wants to do something good in your life today. Through His Spirit, He wants you to experience His fullness. And He wants you to receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, you need healing, just lift your hands to where you're at this morning. Just lift your hands right where you're at. You need healing in your body. Especially if that's you, if I just spoke to you, spoke directly to your heart, if that's you this morning, just lift your hands right where you're at. Just surrender to Him. Just surrender to Him this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You right now that by Your Holy Spirit, God, by Your Holy Spirit, You just touch each and every one of them right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Touch them, Father God. Just touch it with Your healing power and Your goodness. Yeah. There's someone here this morning. It's not a physical natural ailment, but it's something that's all I can hear on the inside of me is that He heals the brokenhearted. But your broken heart and what's going on internally, what's going on in you, the wounds that you've had internally, that brokenness that you've experienced internally, the abuse and the things that have happened to you, it's affecting your physical body. It's tormenting and affecting your physical body. But it's not necessarily a natural illness. I'm not sure if there's anybody here that speaks to. If you're here this morning, I tell you what, I want to do something a little different right now. If that's you this morning, raise your hand right where you're at. I want to see one right here. There's one over here. Thank You, Lord. I'm going to just come to you real quick. I said, come to those who get their hands. Just continue to worship. Just continue to worship this morning, Father. We just thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You, Father God. Thank You right now. In the name of Jesus.
God.
I surrender.
just thank you this morning. God, that is our cry as we get ready to leave this place, that you have your way in us. Not just when we gather, God, but that you have your way wherever we go. Such as I have, such as we have, God, we give. Father, you want us to take what you've given us, just like you gave Paul, and Paul continued to give it. You want us to give what you've blessed us with. Your love, your joy, your peace, your goodness, your spirit. As we leave this place today, Father God, I thank you that you do not stay here. You go with us. And that, God, what we have, what you've given us, we take with us to give it away.
Yes, God.
I surrender. I surrender. We surrender. We surrender. We surrender. Father, we thank you this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, just love on someone you're standing next to. Just bless them. Consider yourself dismissed. We love each and every one of you. God bless you. God bless you.